Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Is this just a culture of corruption there where, I mean, obviously Alec, you know, had been in these courthouses for many years doing his bidding and all of his accomplices that helped him with this and that. So it seems like shadiness is pretty common. Not saying everyone there is by any means, but there seem to be quite a few. But to this level, is it just a product of how they've operated? And the other question is, what other cases has she been involved with?
And That's the big question.
Yeah, and where did she want those to go? And was it just Murtaugh that she had this vested interest of going and making these statements? Or has she always been a chatty box on this sort of stuff and trying to influence on what her opinion is to every jury?
That is the million-dollar question. I want to address that one first, because if this all shakes down the way that we think it's going to shake down, and I'm of the same mindset that you are, I absolutely believe these affidavits. I cannot see any reason whatsoever why these jurors would be making this stuff up out of whole cloth. And the fact of the matter is, if we're to believe Harpootlian and Griffin, you know, they met them all independently.
Yeah.
And they weren't advising any of the other ones, well, hey, you know, this is what they said. Is that true type of thing? They were all giving the same statements about her going into the, you know, the bathroom or a separate room with the foreperson of the jury for, you know, 5-10 minutes at a time. You know, the things that she was saying, they all heard the same things. So I have no reason to believe, as I sit here now, that it's not true. You know, like, that's just like, no one has been able to pose something other than like a huge conspiracy that will require like a lot of moving parts and a lot of loose lips, that, you know, the kind of conspiracy that is really difficult to keep under wraps just because there's so many people involved. There's always somebody that caves, you know? So it's like, you're either going to believe that, or you're going to believe that I'm choosing to believe the jurors. They have no stake in the game. If they were going to try to make money on a book, they would have done it right after the case was over.
Yeah.
They're not waiting 6 months, you know, and they didn't go searching this out. You know, people are like, well, why didn't they come forward then? They probably, if they had not been approached,
they probably had no idea.
They would have gone to the grave. They didn't necessarily know that anything was wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know, but now, obviously, when the attorneys are coming in and say, oh, well, you know, she shouldn't have been doing that for, you know, that was verboten. It's not allowed. You know, then of course they know. But sitting there, like I was saying, I mean, these are lay people that aren't attorneys, that don't deal with the system. It's all brand new to them.
Sure.
You know, it's the same thing I talk about on my podcast constantly. I'm like, I explain the law to the people who listen to my podcast because I'm just assuming that they love true crime, but there's going to be things that they just aren't 100% clear on what it means.
Exactly.
You know? So like, I try to educate them so that their enjoyment rises because they now know, oh, well, 2 days ago, I didn't know what that means. Now I do. Now I'm enjoying this even more because I understand context. So it's the same thing with these folks. But man, if it turns out that all of this is true and she did this, two things may happen. One, every juror that had her as the person who was hand-holding and doing all the concierging, whatever you want to call it, with the jury, they're going to say, man, she did the exact same thing in my trial. He kept talking about the defense. So if that happened, I would imagine there's going to be other jurors in other trials that may come forward, or you're going to have everybody that had a case in that courtroom where she was sitting there and she was handling the jury. They're all going to get looked at.
Yeah.
And every jury, like, I mean, it's like one of those nightmare scenarios where, like, when you have a prosecutor that gets outed that was cheating, you know, that they've been doing shady stuff. It's like you have to review, or a cop, like all their cases, you have to review all of them, especially if there's a pattern, you know? So man, it could be an explosive nightmare. Now, to go to your first question, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's the area. I mean, I think there were different levels of culpability as far as the people that were, you know, aiding and abetting, assisting and co-conspiring with Murdoch in terms of getting the money. You know, I don't think that they were quite as culpable. I mean, obviously, a lot of them have been sentenced, so they're culpable to a certain extent, but they weren't the masterminds. You know, they were like a cog in the machine.
Sure.
However, what they were doing was illegal. You know what I mean? And they knew better.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that boils down to relationships. You know, it's like it's that type of area. He was that type of guy where he had those types of relationships and he leveraged them, you know, and he used them and he used people. Like, I mean, that's the one thing they always said about it. I mean, the guy's superpower was being able to sway people with his words.
Yeah.
Like that was the whole thing about, you know, his narcissism or whatever you want to call it. His, you know, his massive ego in terms of him deciding to testify because he thought that he would be able to convince the jury, just like he's been able to convince everybody else during the entire course of his life of everything. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know where it lays, but, you know, like I think with Becky Hill more than anything, I think that she got sucked into that moment. Like it was just the whole world was watching.
Yeah.
You know, it was literally one of those trials. They happen, what, once every two decades?
And she was
like, literally, I mean, there's been big trials, but I like OJ and then this.
And
like,
she was, and
there's been a bunch
right
in between
next
that have been very interesting, that have been captivating, that we've followed, but nothing like these two. You know, like they're the two biggest cases that I can remember in terms of just moving parts and just fascinating to watch, like a burning car wreck.
Very much so. And she was right next to the flames. So
and apparently toast and marshmallows, you know.
That was too much of a temptation for her, if this is all true. Let's play devil's advocate for 1 second. What if she isn't lying? What if all these things did not actually happen? What if some of this is fabricated, or what if some of this is blown out of proportion by Murdaugh's attorneys? I mean, there obviously would be massive repercussions for them as would there not? I mean, so that's why it's like these two. I know, you know, Harpootlin looks like he's about ready to retire. Griffin's got a handful of years left on him.
In his mind, he's been retired for years.
So, but they're not like willing. I don't think either of them want to go out on something like this where they're making shit up for Alec Murdaugh. So that's why
like disbarred, shamed, and most likely arrested for suborning perjury. Because make no mistake about it, if they went in there in any way, shape, or form, massaged these witnesses to tailor their statements to fit the statute in order for them to get a new trial, that is unequivocally suborning perjury.
Yeah.
That, like, without question. It's like these are sworn witnesses. Mm-hmm. Like, people need to understand affidavits.
Yeah.
People that give them are called affiants. And the affiant, like, typically the way that we do it, and people are like, oh, well, Poot or Griffin wrote the affidavit. I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, you're not going to expect people, lay people that have never written an affidavit to write an affidavit. It's a legal form. It's a document.
Yeah.
So, but like we've used hundreds and hundreds of affidavits over my career. And typically what we do is we go in, we interview it. We typically tape record it and they say their piece and whatever that is. And if it turns out that, you know, I handle primarily criminal stuff. So if I have a recantation, you know, my heart's going a million miles an hour in my chest. I'm like, holy cow, man, I got to get this thing. Like, I got to get an affidavit immediately before something changes, before somebody approaches that person, before somebody get, you know, it's like whatever they're telling me at this point in time is their truth in this moment of time. So like I'm running back to the office. I'm preparing the affidavit. I'm putting it in front of them and say, I need you to read every single word of this carefully.
Yeah.
And I need you to make sure that it's 100% accurate as to what you said to me, because you're swearing to it right now and it's going to be sworn testimony. And then if they sign it, it is what it is. It's sworn testimony. It's the no different than if that person was sitting on the stand and had been sworn in. It's the exact same concept. Yeah. So, man, I mean,
it's so unlikely. It doesn't make any sense why they would. I'm addressing, you know, some of the folks out there on social media where, well, it's Jim Griffin, and it's
you may not like
that they represented Alec Murdaugh, but they're not about to like slit their own throats for the hell of it.
Exactly. For him.
For him.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like they're not gonna destroy their lives and their integrity and their family name for Alec Murdaugh.
No.
They're just not doing it. Yeah. It's not happening. It's like you think a state senator or not, you know, and people hate them because they hate Alec Murdaugh. Yeah. And it's they have to do their job.
They're doing their
job. Yeah. I get it. I get it. You know, like people like to impute the hatred that they're feeling for the guy, the monster, onto the lawyers. But my God, they're just doing their jobs.
They are.
They're hired to do the jobs. You know, everybody makes mistakes in terms of whether it's the state or the defense. And, you know, and that was the type of trial where people were picking up on every single word that was said, every action that was taken. So if anything seemed even remotely slippery coming from either side, they were getting called on it. You know what I mean? The hate from Murdaugh has oozed on to these two guys, and people detest them as much as they detest Murdaugh. I get it to a certain extent, but at the same time, I am a defense attorney.
Yeah.
We have a job to do. We're absolutely critical. And this is why. Like these types of reasons are why. Because had this slipped by and had this jury pool been tainted or tampered with by this woman, I mean, it creates such a slippery slope. And to go back to her and to kind of the point, like, I don't think this is the first time. Like, she seems so comfortable with it.
Yeah.
That when I see people that comfortable in terms of doing things that are not allowed, I'm assuming it's not the first time that they've done it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just get that feeling, not just with her, but with anybody. Anybody that's reached a comfort level of breaking the law to where they're able to do it without batting an eye. It typically tells me that it's not the first time that it's happened.
I think she's got some reps in on this, whether or not she has to know that's not okay. But again, that's where I went back to saying, is this just how they operate a lot down there? I mean, it's wrong. You can't operate that way, but now they're finally being called out on it. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. It's a very small county.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
It's super close knit, and until it's not, you know, everyone adored Murdaugh until they realized this guy's a monster, you know, but like up until that point, he was adored. Their family was adored. They were treated like royalty down there until they weren't, you know, but it's like everybody knows everybody down there. It's like the players all know each other. And it's like that in every county. I mean, my county is definitely bigger, but I know every lawyer, you know, I see them all the time. We're communicating all the time. It's like we're handling cases on the other side all the time. So it's like you have these relationships and they exist, you know, when the house of cards starts to tumble down, that's where people shake out on different sides of it. And that's where we're at now. So, you know, I think that there was a huge amount of old boy network cronyism that was going on down there forever and ever, you know, for as many generations as the Murdaughs have been running it down there. I think that that's all been part of the game. And I think that's come to an end. And I think it died with Murdaugh down there. But man, it's like leading up to that, it's an old habit that's going to die.
Hard,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just going to fade away overnight. So, I mean, man, I don't know. I don't know what was going on down there. But if this thing's true, it just blows my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, and the bottom line is, this guy's not walking out of prison.
No.
This is never about him. He's never going to be walking out of prison. If it has to be retried, I have every hope that he'll be convicted again because, you know, and I have a different theory. I think he's 100% accountable. I just don't necessarily think that he was the trigger guy. I think that he hired him, guys, but that's my theory. It's for a whole different
person. No,
I can flush it out, but you know, there's just things that took place that make more sense to me in terms of it being that. But if he hired two guys to kill his wife and his son, it's the same as if he pulled the trigger. Exact same.
He's
guilty of the same crime. So,
and I've been wondering about the same thing myself. And I'm kind of with you on that, because there's a lot that doesn't add up that's necessarily he pulled the trigger, but he certainly has knowledge, in my opinion, or he was there, or he hired somebody. Or it was a hit of some sort, and you take out the family and you leave the person. I don't know. I mean, my thought is maybe there was a threat on the rest of his family too, if he talks and he's, I don't know. I mean, it can go anywhere at this point. But what?
I mean, nothing's off the table.
No, nothing.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.